This Two Lectures episode features Keeper of Happy Honeybees, Orin Fox. A soulful and gifted young man who had done more to help make a positive impact by the age of 15 than many folks do in a lifetime. Recorded live at the Global Event in California, USA in 2012.
I've kind of got a bit to live up to. I mean, I'm not really abolishing child poverty or advocating for human rights. I'm just keeping bees. But you're probably wondering why I have the birds and the bees as my first slide. Well, that's exactly what I'm going to talk about. And I know a 15-year-old can't talk about the birds and the bees, but it's not what you think. It's it's chickens and a few ducks and then a lot of bees. Yes, as Duke mentioned, I'm Orin Fox. I'm a sophomore at the Thatcher School. Hello. And yes, I'm 15, and the little count right now is 35 chickens, 4 ducks, and 7 beehives. So I kind of started by getting a few beehives at home. Currently, I have 4 back east, and about a week ago, we had 4 at school, except on Sunday, we realized that one of them we had 3 at school and realized that one of them didn't really make it. So the count is actually down to 6 beehives, unfortunately. It's just how it happens. Some survive, some don't. But actually, just to start off with a quick little video that Michael Piazza, who's somewhere in the audience, made this summer. So it's just a cool little way to start off. I mean, they're smart little creatures. They're a lot different than many other animals, but they're pretty intelligent. On a simple level, the bees are much more independent. You definitely do not have to visit them every day, and they kind of do what they need. Only when the hive is kind of in a time of need are you really called upon to help them out. Even though it's not your own work, you kind of feel like it is because it's just cool to see your own hive thriving and, you know, bees going everywhere, pollen coming in and out, honey being packed away. You kind of have to realize that you're working with them and they're working with you. It's not a one-way street. Honey is really, mainly what it is dehydrated nectar. Wildflower honey is really just any flower in the vicinity of the beehives that they decide to collect. So you will get purple loosestrife, peaches, apples, kind of all that good stuff just from around the area. Learning where your food comes from kind of makes you more aware to possibilities. You learn that food doesn't just come in plastic bottles and just arrive at the grocery store, that it has to be grown or produced or harvested or gathered, however you want to put it. Nowadays, a lot of people are a little too skeptical about things, and I have to say, just go for it, because if you always look at the negative effects, it usually can overpower the positive effects. But if you just kind of say, all right, well, we've discussed it a lot, but yeah, let's just get bees, and you get a few hives, and then you're just rolling with them, you'll realize how great they are. My name is Orin Fox. This is my 3rd year keeping bees, and what else do I have to say? Uh, Yeah, so that's just a pretty cool little video. Some really nice shots of the bees pollinating. This is pretty hard to get because they're small little creatures, are hard to find. But so here are some pictures of me when I first got started with chickens. This is even before I had any of my own birds, but I kind of started out by, so there's this little local farm where my chickens are currently, which is only a few miles away from my house, and I would go every Saturday to help out at the farm. I would feed the chickens, and it's not that big. There's maybe, I don't know, 100 chickens there, and so I would collect the eggs, which in and of itself was the greatest thing on earth, and I would give the chickens food and water and, you know, just do various chores that that I thought were absolutely great. And it's kind of funny because, as I mentioned, I went over every Saturday morning. And I'd usually go over at 9 o'clock, which now is quite early. And back then, I'd wake up at about 6 and just jump around ready to go. And so, I mean, that was really a blast, even before I got my birds. So this is one of my original dozen birds that I got. Her name was Josephine, and yeah, this is just a cute picture of when she was a chick. And so when I first got my birds, I kept them in my house because you got to keep them nice and warm, and it's really easy to kind of check in on them and just see how they're doing. And so when I would get home from school, I'd carry them around and kind of like snuggle with them. And so as I was trying to do my homework, they would come try to do it as well, as they're showing here. And so I'd spend a bunch of time on the weekends kind of working with the birds and doing other various things around the farm. And so I was just kind of tired, so I lay down to take a snooze. And so these two little ducks had, they'd come kind of later in the spring, and I just thought they were super cute, so I would pet them and give them food and water every day, and I just thought they were really awesome. And they eventually, I think they thought I was their mother, so they would follow me around. And so after I kind of took a little snooze, I woke up, and they were sleeping right there, too. I felt kind of bad as I was cruising around, and they'd be running behind to try to keep up. It's another just adorable picture of when chickens are chicks, and they're still very cute, as they are when they grow up, but they're just the best when they're younger. And so this is one of my birds. Her name is Sugar. She's not around anymore, but she would always also follow me around. And there, a lot of people don't realize that there's kind of the two big categories of chickens are sort of the standard chicken and the little bantam chicken. And no matter how big she looks, her body was really only about this big. She's had a bunch of feathers. So she would also kind of run around and follow me, and her legs are 2 inches long. So as she's trying to sprint to keep up is kind of a funny little sight. So this is kind of just a funny picture. It's sort of, so the farm where all the chickens are is named Oak Valley Farm, and this is kind of our little cross-country team, you know, all just running around. And so the chickens were really, they were kind of cool. They taught me really just about responsibility, because at the time, no one else in my grade really had a responsibility quite like I did, having a dozen chickens that I had to care for every day after school. So when a buddy would say, oh, do you want to come over and hang out like right after school, I'd say, well, no, I can come over in an hour though, once I'm done taking care of the chickens. So, and it wasn't really something I could just ignore. I mean, they need food and they need water just like we do. So, I mean, I had to go every single day, and there was no, oh, well, maybe tomorrow. I mean, I had to really go and do it, no matter how cold it was in the winter. There's some pretty brutal times, and it, obviously, on the East Coast, it can get dark at like 4:30, really in the dead of winter. So I'd be trudging through snow and feel like the worst thing ever. And then you get into the barn and there's like a million birds around you all talking. It's just really great. And it kind of is why I do it. And this is Alice. And I got her kind of at a little local fair. And I didn't really... I wasn't planning on getting any birds, except then I just kind of saw this little row of about a dozen birds that looked exactly like her, and they were just, they were the cutest little things. I mean, she, it's hard to tell, but she's also only like this big. And so as I brought her back to the barn, a lot of people kind of caught on to her sort of fiery personality. Like if you go into the barn, she knows you're there, and she won't let you walk by without talking a little bit. And she's so small that in the winter, I would think that she was shivering. I'm sure she was really fine. And so if I would ever go over in a sweatshirt, you know, sweatshirt pockets can be kind of big. And so I'd just tuck her in and she would just sleep as I was doing whatever I was doing. And she would just sit there, and then I'd take her back out and she'd wake up and walk off. But so I could always have one of the birds kind of with me, which is pretty sweet. Yeah, there she is again. Can't have enough pictures of her. And then those are the two little ducks. What actually is happening is there's obviously a hose there for the water, and they love to get squirted in the face with the hose. And so we're just misting them on a hot summer day, and they really loved it, swimming and everything. It was really all great. And this is Sugar again. And yes, we are in church in that picture. And so my family, we don't really go to church kind of every Sunday, but one of our good neighbors is having this this event, kind of, it's called the Blessing of the Animals, where people would bring, you know, the typical dogs, cats, and then I would show up with half a dozen chickens. And so, I mean, we had a little kind of pew to ourselves, and we'd put down a towel, so if there was a bathroom break, it would all kind of stay contained. And on the other side of her are all her friends lined up. And just another picture. She's really great. Although it was kind of sad. So obviously when you get chickens, it's great, and it's the greatest thing that's ever happened. Like when I picked up my first dozen birds, I couldn't stop like talking to them. I know it sounds ridiculous, but I would hold them. And at one point I had I had 11 of the dozen in my arms, and there was one left, and I was trying to pick her up and hold her too without dropping the five others that were in the arm. So, and so it's really great when you get them, and there's about a million great things that happen, except for occasionally they die, which is really a bummer. But there's this kind of this cool story of this one rooster I had who really was a sweetheart. He was super nice and friendly, and everyone loved him. And he died, and I was super bummed, and I didn't really want to bury him, because that's always kind of a sad process, seeing their little stiff bodies being buried. But so my dad, he was going to bury her, or him, and obviously put a little food and water in, just, you know, for good measure. And he said that, so he was burying her kind of at night, and he said that, like, right before he did bury him, there was like a really bright star in the sky, and after he finished burying him, it was gone. So it's kind of cool to think that it like went with him. I'm sure it was probably just a really big cloud, but it's still nice to think that, that there's kind of a little special something there. And so these are two more of some pretty fluffy little animals. You can see their legs actually have feathers all the way down. They're pretty cool. Yeah, so as I mentioned, I started by volunteering and getting to know kind of how it was all done, and so I got my first chickens when I was pretty young. Obviously made a ton of mistakes, but it was okay because I was just beginning, so it really was kind of excusable, and as long as it wasn't affecting any of the chickens negatively, that was really fine. Like, I mean, the mistakes I was making were like forgetting to close the door, and then there was just a jailbreak, which took an extra half an hour to catch them all. And so I started by writing a little journal entry about every day. And I really started when they were little chicks. And I wasn't writing about anything, really, because they're just chicks and nothing was really going on. Because in the first week, yeah, they grow, but on a day-to-day basis, you don't really notice it. And so all I was saying was like, this chicken looks like she's gonna be like really big, and this one looks like she's gonna be really small. I mean, really pretty trivial stuff. But so people were interested in what I was writing, so they suggested I start a blog. And the blog has kind of almost sort of brought me to here where I am now, because a lot of people have caught on. I've started to post various things, not only what I was kind of thinking, but also some cool little articles I found. And it actually ended up taking me to the White House. Just a little blog, but so here's some pictures. So there's a little conference, is called Know Your Farmer, Know Your Food. And it was held in the Eisenhower Building, I think, which is right next to the White House. And so I got invited to attend. It was really cool. There's a bunch of people packed in this room. There was some pretty well-known people, like not in any of these pictures, but there was Kathleen Merrigan, who is the who's kind of one of the big dogs in terms of agriculture. I can't remember her specific title, but then the bald guy in the upper right corner, that's Sam Cass, who's actually the White House executive chef. And the whole event was being televised, and so I was really hoping I wouldn't have to say anything. And a few minutes after he arrived, he just stood up and asked if there was a beekeeper in the audience, who is like, I think, let's see, I was in, yeah. He said, is there a freshman beekeeper in the audience? And there's no one else really even near my age. So I stood up and I shook his hand. I got to talk to him for a little bit, which kind of ended with my dad and I getting a little tour of the White House. And we were walking through the White House, and the president was like in a room. He was having a meeting with like the prime minister of Israel. So we didn't get to meet him, but we were still 50 yards away from the president, walking by guys with like huge guns, didn't want to look us in the eye. They were just, and so, so this is when I first got, when I got my first bees, and I planned on having two hives, but when I arrived, it turns out, well, they had the two hives all set up, that there was a man who's at the last second, his wife said, no, you can't get bees, but he'd ordered everything and he had his hive all set up. So it turned out, instead of, we came with the intention of getting two hives and actually ended up with three, which was really, it wasn't really anything bad. It was just all for the better, because I could, compare the various hives together, because each one is a lot different. And so this is what the bees come in, kind of a box with four sides and then screen on the other two. And the bees kind of come in this big wad, because there's like a can of sugar water that they all suck out of. That's what they're really hanging on in that picture. And so the bees made a really cool sound when they were in their little boxes. They were just kind of humming. And so I put one of the packages in my room, because it's like a soothing sound. And so yes, I was sleeping there with my bees, and there's my cat as well. And so it was just kind of cool, because I was so excited to get them started that I couldn't go anywhere without having the bees like literally in my hand. So I had to sleep with them. This is kind of going out to the hives. They're kind of tucked away in a nice little spot right on the woods. There they are lined up, looking in really nice condition, because that's right when they all started. They're all clean and they look great. And over the years, they'll get really kind of beat up. And so it's actually kind of cool. So someone who tasted the honey described it as peaches, apples, and the Atlantic Ocean. It's kind of a poetic way of describing it. Also makes it sound really delicious. So actually, I think it's kind of been around. So I did bring a little bit of this honey for all of you to taste. And so you have some little spoons so it can get passed around as I'm finishing this up. And it's pretty delicious. And the kind of, you'll see that it kind of has a cloudy color to it, which isn't anything bad. It's just that the honey, when we harvested it, it got a little crystallized. And that's really all that it is. So it can kind of change the texture and what it looks like. Obviously a guard bee coming to check out who was destroying their hive, or so it appeared. Another little cute bee. All the bees watching. So these two people right here. So you probably are wondering how I got started with bees. And for my birthday one year, it kind of all started by, I once I got my chickens, people encouraged me to enter them in the Topsfield Fair, which is a fair back near my house. And so I did, and actually had quite a fair amount of success with just entering my birds. I really had no idea what I was doing. And so I met a bunch of cool people. I saw, there are also like sheep shows, and I could see the bee barn as well. And I decided along the way that I wanted a ram for my birthday. So I asked for a ram and to go to bee school, which is what I heard about. It's a way to kind of get started with bees and sort of learn about them. And the ram didn't happen, but the bee school did. And so this is kind of checking them out a little bit. And yeah, one thing I kind of didn't really touch upon, but while I was at the White House, the chef Sam Cass challenged me to a honey off with the White House. So it turns out, so I sent them some of my honey and they sent us some of theirs. And so, I mean, it was kind of surreal when he says, "Oh, do you want to have a honey off?" And I was like, "You want my honey to go to the White House?" I mean, it just, the entire thing was kind of seemed a little ridiculous, but it's really cool. I mean, I can say I had a honey off at the White House. So I started by getting them at home, obviously, first, and then I got three hives at school, which has been an interesting process, because we got two to start off, and there's a really nice beekeeper who lives in Ojai, where I go to school, who helps us out. And so we had our original two hives, and he brought a third hive that he said, so he was working with someone else, and their bees had gone away, and he'd never bothered to take the actual physical hive back home. So he left it out, and somewhere along the way, some wild bees have moved in. They were still just normal honeybees, but they turned out to be super aggressive. And actually, as we were putting them in with the other two beehives, I let some of my other friends go in with the suits, and I was standing away with one of the teachers. We were a safe distance, I mean, 50 or 60 yards away, and those wild angry bees came over, and we all got stung, even the people in the suits, because they took them off after a few minutes, but the bees were still around. It was just really kind of a nasty hive, but this is just one of the mellow, nice ones at home. And now that crazy hive has realized that has remembered what it's like to have a beekeeper tending to them, so they've kind of mellowed out. Now when we go to take care of them, obviously bees need water, and this is just a sweet little picture of them drinking out of a little puddle. And it does entail kind of clearing out the hives in the winter. As you can see, it's kind of hard, but there's a little black tar paper wrapped around, which attracts the sunlight and keeps the hive relatively warm. But as you can see, they kind of got snowed in. So, it does involve digging out the fronts of the hives so that it doesn't get too wet inside. And there's work year round, but it's not daily work, because the bees are pretty, as I mentioned in the video, they're pretty self-sustaining. So, it's just basic needs. And this is one of them. See, snowed in at the front, and those are actually little dead bees who made it out and didn't make it back in because of the snow. And so at the bottom of every hive, there's this thing that allows the bees to land, and it kind of, it's literally just called a landing board, so as they come cruising in full of honey, they have a place to kind of crash land and then crawl up. But it leaves a gap under the hive, and it turned out that that the mice had discovered this nice little gap that was kept warm by the bees, so why not move in the winter, which is exactly what happened. There was one hive that didn't make it through the winter, and as my dad and I were cleaning it out in the spring, we picked it up, and about 60 baby mice just scurried out, and it was really kind of disgusting, because it's just, there's mice, and it's a mouse house, and mouse houses aren't really the cleanest places. So that was a little bit of an interesting experience. And so while that didn't smell good, working with bees, I mean, it really does. Like, that's all honeycomb. And unfortunately, this is a picture of bees that ran out of honey. And as you can see, those are all their tails, or their butts, and they were reaching in to get honey, and there wasn't any there. So they Couldn't make it out. Kind of a sad picture, but it's just what happens. And there is a little picture of the top of the hives. And yeah, so as I mentioned before, working with them on a hot summer day, you really smell everything. And that's kind of a really cool experience when you open the hive up and all the bees come out and it just smells great, which is one of the reasons why I love caring for them. And this is down in Ojai. Those are the three little hives. And this is the day we set up a little electric fence around the hives because there are many predators that live in those hills who would love to have a little midnight snack of honey. So we had to keep them out. And that's the kind of little bee crew that we assembled, which is a real blast to work with, opening up some of the hives at school. And this is all honey that's been packed away, and that white stuff is just wax that they've capped the honey away with. So that's really ready for use in the winter. And you use it, I'll talk to you about this later if you'd like, but there's various ways that the bees store honey for themselves. And when you want honey, they store it for you. It sounds kind of ridiculous, but it's really true. And this is all packed away for them. Again, just a beautiful shot of the honey. Harvesting it, it's actually a really great experience. Although everything gets sticky, and literally everything. You try to keep it off your clothes, but at some point it's gonna get on your hand and you're gonna wipe your face, and then you're gonna have honey on your face, you're gonna try to wipe it off, and then you're gonna see it on your, and it just gets everywhere. But it's really worth it in the end because it's pretty delicious. Just have a little, see this honey, it's that kind of cloudy color. It's because it was crystallized. Barefoot beekeeper, as I'm going now, because in the summer it's a bit of a hassle to put on sneakers, and I haven't really been stung a terrible amount on my feet, so there's really no reason to put shoes on. But yeah, so people always ask me kind of if I had suggestions for them on how to get bees, how they would go about it. And like I mentioned in the video, yes, you'll think about like, oh, well, I'll have to go in the winter. Well, it's not a problem here, but if you live back on the East Coast, I'll have to go in the winter and clean out the snow, visit them fairly often. I have to kind of understand what's going on in the hive to keep them healthy. But you can't really think about that. You just have to think about how delicious it would be to have honey. And so I always encourage people to just think about how great having bees, for example, would be in and just all the positives, because people can tend to weigh in on the negatives too much and not look at how great bees could really be. And I've failed numerous times. I mean, hives have died. Obviously, the mice moved in. That was just all a disaster. I've had many things go wrong, but in the end, things will kind of reverse themselves and they'll go right. And even though, like, I was afraid of getting my first hives because, I mean, I'm going to get stung and there's things that are going to go wrong, but you have to think about that, but think about how great it's going to be to have honey. I mean, that's just really the greatest thing. And having bees all around, they're really, really cool, and pollinators. Yeah, that's kind of it. It's just bees are a really great thing. And as I've mentioned before, they produce a really delicious thing called honey.
The Do Lectures is here to share stories of remarkable people in the hope they will inspire you to go and do amazing things too. There are over 300 talks to listen to, or, if you prefer, watch on our website, thedolectures.com. Hit the subscribe button on your favourite podcast platform to get the latest episodes when they come out. For our weekly curation of wonder and optimism, sign up to our newsletter by visiting thedolectures.com/newsletter.